Well, hello, Irv Puckett, Mr. Orange Sherbert.
Hello.
And so this is welcome to Irv Puckett and Rick Joyner's Bible study. And why aren't you talking?
Oh, I'm just listening. You're always talking. I have to listen. You won't shut up.
Ouch, so we don't start out with abuse. I start out with abuse of you, Mr. Orange Sherbert.
Hey, I like my shirt.
Yep. Okay. So let's go to Ephesians in Bible Study Company, right? Yep, we're there.
Yep. We're on verse 8, chapter 1.
Okay. So let's take a look at this. Now, the people will have to take a look at the other podcast that we have on Ephesians. Yeah. So this will be the third, part 3. So yeah. we've gone to verse 8. So let's just read a few verses to 13. How's that?
Okay, that sounds good.
All right. And we talked about predestination and we talked about some of the different things, but we've been in verse 7, we've been redeemed through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. So we talked about that last time. Yeah. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. Notice the in hims. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things out of the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be the praise of his glory. So that's a big mouthful.
Yeah.
So let's go back up to 9 and talk about this. So he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. I like this. Brooke says often that God's purposes are to be fulfilled and that we want to be in line with his will and his purposes. And we're actually seeing this in these scriptures, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we see also his will. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed. So what do you think from what we've gathered in our last Bible studies, what do you think is the mystery of his will according to his kind intentions, which he purposed in him?
Obedience. I mean, his purpose is to have us be obedient to him. And a lot more. I mean, there's his pleasure is to see us happy, I think.
Happy, or what do you mean?
He don't want us to be sinful all the time. I think he wants us to be happy in his word.
In his word, right.
Yeah.
And in his will, because what makes us happy in the flesh doesn't necessarily make him happy.
And it really doesn't make us happy in the long run.
No, it doesn't.
Sinfulness is not being happy.
Correct. Yeah.
I've learned that in my time. I'm young, but what I've learned is, God doesn't want us to be sinful. That's not going to make us happy. Being in his good grace is going to make us happy.
Exactly. Yep. Okay. So, all right. So we have that. And so how would we respond to God in this verse? What would be the best way for us to respond to him?
And what, verse 9?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
having made him. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to look. It says according to his will.
Yeah.
So the it's a primary participle, and what it does is it's the kind intention of his will. Yeah. So that's kind of a neat thing.
The according mystery of his will. According to his good pleasure.
Right.
It's the same. It means the same thing, which we purposed in himself, which he purposed in himself.
Right. So his good pleasure then, because that whenever you see the word good, it means that it's good according to God. Like you and I might see something in the world and we might say, oh, that looks really good. But the thing is, it might not be good according to the word of God. Like, for example, we could say this presidential candidate is really good. The problem is he a godly person? Is he a good person according to God or her, whatever the elected person is? So what we mean by a good intention, his kind intention or his good pleasure, which he purposed in him, which is really amazing, because if we think about it, we're learning about a character quality of God, that he moves according to his will, and it's according to his good pleasure.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
I do.
So, and he doesn't, and we could say, because we're not theologians, but we could say, this is a really practical way that we need to approach God, because in reality, Irv, if you think about it, we need to be thinking, we just can't make up, oh, God believes this or God believes that. Yeah. We need to know what God believes based on going into his word. And one of his disciples here, who he personally taught from heaven, he taught the Paul, which was different than the other disciples. He taught 3.5 years on the earth with him. And he also taught several years from heaven to Paul. That's an amazing. And Paul still considered himself the least of all the apostles. Now, you and I have said we really bash ourselves on our past failures, right?
Yeah.
Well, you don't see much of what Paul did, except occasionally saying he was the least of all the apostles because what he did, but he's moving forward. So
you know what? That's great. That's awesome right there. All the things Paul had done before, and he knew he was forgiven, so he never brought it up that much.
Exactly.
Us, I've always bring up my past and like, how could God forgive me for that? But right. Then he forgave Paul for killing his people.
Right. So. And what's one of the interesting things that you'll see in scripture, in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Old Testament, is you'll see ha Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's not necessarily a person. A theologian, Dr. Michael Heiser, was saying that it's an office, meaning that one of the spiritual beings that either fell or didn't fall, like Adam fell, chose their own will. And this is really the issue that we're talking about right here, is in the Old Testament, we see repeatedly them saying they did what was right in their own eyes. Well, that's us today. And so if we have scripture, we can put what's right in our own eyes in front of us. Well, Paul put in front of himself what was right in his own eyes that he thought was even scriptural, and he went out and persecuted Christians.
Yeah.
And so, but the thing is that ha Satan, or the office, is also the accuser. And so scripture says he's constantly accusing us of our old sin. Oh, yeah. God can't use you because you sinned before. Oh, God can't do this before that. And what the Lord says is, my blood sufficient, or isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a big question.
Yeah.
We can either live in the regrets that ha Satan throws out at us, which is Hebrew for the Satan, we can, the accuser, we can either be there and go and live in our regrets, or we can say, Lord, thanks for saving me. Thanks for your blood. Thank you that your body was broken so I don't have to keep the law anymore.
Yeah.
You can help me by putting your spirit in me.
Okay. Let me ask you something. It doesn't pertain to this.
But the Old Testament law, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. How do I put this? When we sin after we have asked God for forgiveness and accepted Jesus as our Savior, sins do come upon us then. I mean, even I don't doubt that I sin every day, but the Lord has still forgiven me every day, right?
Well, what's your answer?
Yes, he does. I mean, it says that he has forgiven our past, future, and present sins, our past, present, and future. So I pray every day for forgiveness, but in my mind, how do you stop from sinning is what I'm saying.
Well,
in my mind, I sin every day.
I'll give you some hope, okay? So Paul, in Ephesians 2, we're going to talk about this.
Yeah.
And Ephesians 3, because what happened in, where he's setting the stage up as we get forward into Ephesians. But basically, to answer your question, I'm not going to answer it until we get over there and we'll see what scripture says. But I will ask this question back to you. Is the blood of God's Son and God in the flesh, is his blood enough to pay for all of your sin?
By far.
Yeah. So
his blood is enough to pay for the whole world's sin.
So here's the dilemma as we go forward in studying, and anybody that's out there, our dilemma is going to be this. We are a bag of sin from the time we're born. So I was just pointing out to a theologian, Dr. Gepfrick, who's been on our podcast. I was saying, listen, you know, I found out about a church quasi-denomination that one of the founders of it was a noted, he was in very much sexual sin. And you could actually call him a predator. They found out and they took him out of leadership. But I said to him, I don't know if we should listen to them anymore, because in my mind it's like all or nothing. And he said, well, then Rick, how are we going to listen to you? Because there's sin in me that I don't even know I have.
Yeah.
And so the issue for us is, and from that, we need to issue great leeway to people. We need to issue great forgiveness. And we need to recognize that even when we fail, God can use that.
Yeah.
He's not in space and time. He can fix us and fix the situation. He might not do it on our timetable. That's for sure. Yeah. You see what I mean?
I do. You know, it goes good with the Psalms that we read.
Exactly.
We
need help with our tongue.
I have a problem with little white lies. Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting off. That's it.
You know, it's kind of.
I wish I could have a little devil pop up, land on your shoulder, and we could say, "There he is, ha Satan."
But no, I think everyone has that situation. They think a little white lie won't hurt until it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and one lie leads to another, and the deceitful tongue will be on all of us, I think.
Right.
Do you not think that there's everyone out here in some ways has a deceitful tongue?
Exactly. And that's the point. What did we say when you first got saved almost a year ago? What did we say? It's important for us to get totally honest with God and ourselves.
Yeah. And I think I think it's also important for us to get honest with our friends and our family. And I think it's our best interest to try and, I'm not saying hurt people, you know, but say, tell the truth, whether they want to hear it or not.
Right. And it's the way we say it. It's kind of like, if I say to you, Irv, I don't, oh, that's really a nice shirt. And in my mind, in my heart, I don't like it.
Well, you don't have to off my shirt today, will you?
No, I'm not going to stop picking on your shirt because it's orange sherbet and I love orange sherbet and I can't eat it because I eat keto. This sugar is not good for me. Psst, it's not good for you either.
No, either is this.
That's what I'm saying. It's okay, no, these people don't want to hear us.
Yeah. A couple of, you can cut that out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. So, but the issue, for us is if I said to you, oh, that's really a nice shirt and I don't think so, I just lied.
Yeah.
I don't need to. And what am I doing when I do that? What I'm doing is I'm actually trying to get you to like me.
Yeah. Either that or not wanting to hurt someone's feelings.
Well, more than what I realized that when I do that, when I used to do that, I try not to, but I was trying to get them to like me. I was trying to say stuff that would make them like me.
Yeah. I think everyone has that situation at one time or another.
Right. And so our issue is, are we going to shift? And this is why we're doing these Bible studies. Are we going to shift over to, Lord, what do you want? How do you want me to think? Because I'm accountable to you, not other people.
Yeah.
And what Paul said is he had a struggle in Galatians with Jews coming and saying all the people that the Gentiles got saved have to come under the Mosaic law. Now, interestingly, that's the only Bible they had was the law and the prophets and the Psalms and all that stuff. And Paul was saying, no, you shouldn't come under the law because you believed in Christ. That's all you needed to do. Now, what they'll say is, well, you have to go under the law because how are you going to know what sin is? Well, Christ more than adequately told us what sin is, yeah. And the New Testament tells us that. But the issue for us is we want to make sure that we're in the Word so we know what God expects from us, we just learned today what his kind intention is. And we're also learning that he covered us by his blood. Yeah. So are we going to trust in that? Now, to answer your question going forward is, now that we're under his blood and the Lord God himself looks down through the blood of Christ at us, and he says, okay, I'm going to put my spirit in you, and I'm going to make you a new creature. Now get moving. He doesn't say, get regretting.
Yeah.
He says, get moving.
Pretty much, get on with your life as I see, you know.
Right, exactly. Now, when he says, get moving on the path, that straight path, because that's what John the Baptist was saying, how fast do we go down that path?
How fast?
Trick question.
Immediately, I think.
Well, you start immediately, that's correct, but how fast?
Trick question. I don't know. Trick question.
Yep. If we run, we're going to miss stuff.
Yeah. If we go too slow, we're going to miss it.
If we take one step and then let him build a foundation for us, then we take the next step and the next step. Now, remember, this happened to you because you would say to me, Rick, I don't think I'm growing at all, week after week after week. And then Pete and I would sit there and Mary and I would be absolutely amazed at your growth. See, and you would say, I can't see it. I said, you need to start journaling.
Yeah, I do. I do see it now from when a year ago to now. Even Julie said, I'm a totally different person. And I hope to grow even more, you know. I want to be like you when I grow up.
And I want to wear your orange sherbet shirt and eat orange sherbet ice cream.
But yeah, I understand. I see. It's like when I talk to people now, other Christians, I can look back at the Bible a lot more and see my life in it. And do you know what I mean?
Yep.
I can see the lessons that I learned come in effect.
Right. So let's make sure we do this. So let's make a clear distinction. First off, in Titus 2:11-12, and everybody could go there if they want to on Bible Study Company, but it says grace came, which we know to be Jesus Christ. We've said this in our other podcast, and he, meaning the Holy Spirit, teaches us away from ungodliness. So it's a process. First, we get saved, and then there's a process of those steps. Remember those steps?
Yeah.
So we're under the blood of Christ, and then he changes us to move in his direction. But we need to know what that direction is.
Yeah, and I think if you read enough, you'll find your directions.
Right.
And the Lord will show us our own directions.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Let's say that somebody walks through the door and says, you know what? You got to keep Torah. And you would say what?
What the heck is Torah?
well, I would. Yeah. But Torah is the first five books of the Bible. We won't go into detail because you can watch our podcast on that. But if somebody comes in, that's the Old Testament, the very beginning of the Old Testament. You can say, I'll learn about the Torah, but I'm not going to do Torah. And they'll say, well, you have to. And then you would say, no, what I have to do is keep my eyes in Christ. And he's working on things in me, not trying to have me keep some kind of food law.
It's like the old saying, keep your eyes on the prize.
Right. And Christ is our prize. Yeah. And here's the thing. The Holy Spirit wants to take this bag of sin that we are with orange sherbet shirts. and he wants to direct us to focus on the things he wants us to change on, not what other people tells us. And this is the dilemma that Paul had in Galatians. The Jewish believers came and said, you have to keep Torah, you guys. You have to follow the Mosaic law. In fact, you've got to become Jewish in order to be saved. And Paul said, no, you receive Christ through faith. So let's, for you and I, and everyone that's listening, we can't get distracted from Christ. Yeah. We must stay focused on him and what he wants to do in our life. The entire Bible is at our disposal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Exactly.
The Old and New Testament.
That's what I'm saying. The whole thing is available to us. And what do? We go back between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Yeah. There's things to learn in the Old Testament just as well as there are in the New Testament.
If here's the thing that we've said this before, this Bible, because it's the Word of God, created the universe.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to be able to mine all of its treasures?
No.
But I'll tell you what will stop us from mining it.
Our own minds.
What did we read in Psalms? What did we read in Psalms?
Our tongue.
Our tongue, but what else did they say?
Our deceitfulness.
Exactly. And also hanging out with people.
Yeah,
and leaving the word of God, isn't it?
If you don't hang out with the right people, you're going to go astray.
Right, and
it's just like drinking. If you're an alcoholic, you don't want to hang around with other alcoholics if you're trying to quit.
Yep, and that goes for media too. Because in media, it's technically we're hanging out with those people.
Yeah, I don't even watch the media anymore.
Yeah, it's hard.
That's just. You know, but you're right. If we hang out with
ungodly,
ungodly people were going to go off the track.
Right.
I mean, it's a given.
Almost. And that track, would it be the track that we wear orange sherbet shirts?
Right. No matter what shirt I want to wear. Knock it off.
Knock it off. Okay. So, all right. So folks, if you're listening, what Irv issued to me just now under the table was, enough of your dumb joke. Do we know each other or do we know each other?
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's read verse 10. Okay. So with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ. Get it? That's the thing. The Old Testament is all summed up in Christ. The whole world system is all about Christ. And we have a choice that God's given to us to either choose him or not choose him. However, once we choose him, it's all going to depend on the environment that we put ourselves in, isn't it? If whether we grow or not, which is essentially what the psalmist in 120 was saying.
Yeah.
Our tongue is going to be a problem, and it's going to be an indication of our heart. What comes out of here is going to be an indication of what's inside.
Yeah, and if it's deceitfulness and lying, that's not what we want to be.
Right. You know? There is a kind of lying that's okay. I'll just put this on the table.
What's that?
Lying to protect somebody's life.
Yeah.
So like Corrie Ten Boom, she did not like to lie. And so it was really hard for her family when they hid the Jews in Amsterdam during World War II. And it was hard for her not to tell the truth. But she realized that, I don't know if it was necessarily her, but even King David went through this. It's okay to lie to protect life.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have folks who want to kill.
Yeah. I haven't read that yet, but I'd like to.
Yeah. And where that is reflected is when he goes and talks to the Philistine king and then acts all crazy.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. So, there's.
What?
I was going to say there's a lot of different. I've lied to protect someone's feelings before.
Have you?
I have. I mean, many times. You know, hey, that's a nice shirt, Irv. Let it alone at that.
Yeah. But if you don't believe it is, because that's not protecting life, do we say something? Or just not say anything?
Just not say anything, I think. Yeah. I mean, if it's not brought up, why discuss it? If
you know exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. We don't have to. There's a lot of stuff we don't have to volunteer.
Yeah.
So somehow there was a joke about shirts in there, but I'm just going to
leave it alone.
Okay. So if we click on a view to an administration, what does your Bible say for administration?
Let me see this. That the dispensation.
That's right.
Dispensation. What is that?
Okay. So
first,
what?
What does dispensation mean?
Okay. So in certain theological circles, people take a view called dispensationalism. Now, dispensationalism simply means that at some point God is administering time in this way. I'll give you an example. When Adam and Eve were together, God gave them one law.
Yeah.
Don't eat. They broke that one law. Okay, so that's an administration. Everyone sinned. So then there's an administration. You could say there's an administration after man sinned. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then there's an minute. So God, all the people were treated a certain way until the flood. They got more evil, right? They were very close to God's creation. They knew what was going on. They were actually being, you could just pull off of a tree food. You could eat the green food. And people were really acting evilly. And even some of the angels decided to leave their, to leave heaven and disobey God.
Yeah.
And I think we see that in Genesis 6. But the thing that we have to look at, though, is he had a dispensation. Then the Tower of Babel came, and God just said, you know what? You guys saw my judgment. Because did you know that Noah lived 350 years after the flood?
I did not.
Yeah. So he preached the gospel for 120 years saying, repent. Not only his family listened to him.
Yeah.
And then he lived 350 years after that. And people could come and talk to him about what happened and what God was after. So what did they do? They got together. They created a tower and said, we're not going to listen to God. Basically, we're not going to multiply across the earth like he wants us to. And we're not going to follow his ways. We're going to be our own kings and queens. And what did God do? He said, enough. That's it. And he gave over to what's called the nations. He gave them over to the nations and idolatry. And so not long after that, he picked Abraham. Mm-hmm. God picked one man to have a relationship with. And Abraham believed God.
Yeah.
And guess what? Abraham became our example for faith in Christ. It's not what we do that gets us saved. It's who we believe in.
Yeah. I can say, Father, forgive me all I want. But if I don't mean it, it means nothing.
Right. So then, exactly. So then Exodus, I can say, yes, I believe in Jesus, but that doesn't mean that you have put your whole trust and faith in Christ and then and put your sin on him and all of your efforts. Because remember, his body was broken for us. That represents all of our efforts to try to please God. We put both of those at his feet.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I put all my sins at God's feet every day.
Yep.
That I will be forgiven. And I know I will be. I still pray for forgiveness, even though I know I'll be forgiven one way or the other. You know, God is, like I said, past, present, and future. And that don't mean you can just go out and sin and think I'll be forgiven anyway. That it's not like that.
Right. Right. And Mary pointed out that's exactly right. The Jewish people could look at the little lambs that were slain and say, oh, I'm covered by the blood of this lamb today, morning and night. And then go out and sin. How sad is that? Oh, no, our goal is to please God.
Yes, it is. And that's why I thrive on doing better every day.
Exactly. Yeah. And remember, it's not in your efforts. It's in his power in you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever he gives me the power to do that day is what I go day by day.
Right. No. Mm-hmm. Now, let's continue back on this dispensation, because in my Bible, it says administration. In the King James, it says dispensation, and that's where they got this. So God operates differently at different times. It's the same theme, the same gospel of belief all the way through, but he treats different groups of people. So what did he do? He had Abraham. Abraham had his family, right? Mm-hmm. And so they had the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes went to Egypt. They went out into the desert, Sinai, and God gave them a new dispensation of law called the Torah. Okay. So they were at the mountain. They made covenant with God. So there was a brand new covenant. He made a covenant with Abraham based in their faith. Their faith, they already had faith in God. But the new the covenant in the Old Testament was about, if you do this, I'll do this for you.
Yeah.
It was conditional. So then it, all of it pointed towards Christ coming. That's what Paul's saying.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
I am.
So he's doing things at different times. So Christ came, rose from the dead, and then the Jews could get saved and Gentiles. And what he did is, you remember when they spoke in tongues at the thing?
Yes. Yes.
That's a picture of God saying, hey, Gentiles, remember when I confused your languages?
Yeah.
Well, guess in the Tower of Babel, come on back. Come on back through faith in Christ.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about this before. I think the Tower of Babel was when the Lord, when they spoke in tongues, I think it was different languages for different
people. Exactly.
Like that. You know, Spanish or English or something like that. I think he put groups of them that they could understand each other, but they couldn't understand these people.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he confused their languages.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was a language, not gibberish.
Yeah, yeah. I believe that wholeheartedly. I don't think they rolled around on the floor and spoke gibberish.
Exactly. Know? Now, what some in those groups would say was, well, it's a language someplace in the world. That's like saying it's 5 o'clock.
Yeah, somewhere.
Somewhere.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah, and I don't mean to make light of it, but it is ridiculous. And they've had 110 years since Azusa Street when this type of tongues showed up. They've had 110 years to find a linguist that would prove that it's actual language, and they can't.
Yeah.
And the tongues in the Bible, whenever you see tongue, it means language.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So where did they get, different churches get this speaking Babel is?
From Azusa Street Revival, which was really a mess. We don't have a lot of time to go into this, but it was in Los Angeles and it was just a mess. Mm-hmm. And the thing that was really bad is they were actually seeking, here's the thing. They started out seeking the gift of speaking in tongues from Pentecost. That's why they call it Pentecostalism. Mm-hmm. You get it?
Yeah.
So here's the amazing thing. One of the guys in his group, this guy's group, there's not a time that they ever said this guy's name is William Seymour, that he ever spoke in tongues. Mm. Yet he was pushing finding the speaking in tongues like in the first century, okay, of and first Christianity. Is there any place in scripture where it says for us to do that?
I don't think so.
No, there's not. You don't seek what happened back then. We move forward, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to live in the present here and now and under his power and his administration, right? Yeah. We just saw that.
Yeah.
So the Pentecostals, to answer your question, the guy had a dream, this is a problem, that the 12 disciples came to him and taught him how to speak in tongues. So they asked, so William Seymour, the guy that was running the prayer meeting, asked him if they could do that. And so what happened is they prayed, and of course the guy just started babbling.
Yeah.
And so the issue is that the gift of tongues where we, and most of the churches, you kind of hear people saying it, so you kind of expect to do it.
Yeah.
Right? But we don't, go ahead.
I don't agree with, if God wants us, if God's going to come into us and make us speak, I think he's going to make sure someone understands it.
Well, and here's the thing. Is there a private prayer language? We can't find it in scripture, although they try. But here's the thing. Why would God make, it's hard enough for me to learn how to pray.
Yep.
Could it be that this gibberish is just gibberish, that it doesn't really, it's just something that we learn and it's not bad or it's not good, but it's not a language. So would that, if I think, would that take away from effective prayer?
I think it would.
It would. Yep.
I think so, yeah. Because I think people make themselves believe it.
Right.
If they say it so, it's like a lie. If you say it so much, you begin to believe it yourself.
Well, and we don't necessarily think it's a lie. It just could be we're around Yep. What you're actually saying is that it's a confirmation bias. We're around all these people that confirm our bias towards that.
Yeah.
So, but the issue is, we both, you and I, what's amazing to me is you kind of grew up in like a little Pentecostal church. Yeah. And we're there for a while. And I grew up kind of charismatic. And we both, the more we study the Bible, we move away from this stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
It is. You know what? Anymore, you hear the people talk, they're Baptist, they're Pentecostal, they're this, they're that, they're Southern Baptist. I think as long as you are reading the book and living out of the book, God, I mean, it's not a them, it's us.
It's us. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's if you are reading out of the Bible and living what the Bible says, it doesn't matter what kind of church you go to.
Right. And like the problem with the Torah keepers, remember we started out talking about that? Mm-hmm. The problem with the Torah keepers is you can't really keep the Torah because there's no temple. So who is telling us keep the Torah? Some leader that we have to keep our eye on because they're the ones defining it. We need to keep our eyes on Christ.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with tongues and everything. Why do I'll keep my eyes on Christ and then do what he tells me, which is what you are essentially saying.
Yeah.
Now,
go ahead.
I just wanted to, we don't forget this. Dispensation is an epic of time that God is dealing with people. It's no more and no less. And it's important because when Christ rose from the dead, he called the Gentiles in. He didn't call us to be Jewish. He called us to be Gentiles living where we are and then taking the Bible and learning about God's principles. He didn't expect us to become Jewish.
Yeah. Well,
but he did call the Jewish church, though, that a church means is a Latin word. You won't find it in the Bible, but the Greek is ecclesia. And we talked about ecclesia before, and what it means is those who are called out of the world.
Yeah.
So you and I are having church here, and Mary's listening in the back. She's a back teacher. So she's listening. So we want to be pew sitters that are disciples.
Yeah. We don't want to just go to church and to be a pew sitter and not understand, just to be there.
Yep. So define dispensation for me in your own words.
It's a matter of time.
Exactly. So let's look and read that again, right?
Okay.
He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the kind intention which he purposed in him, here's the thing, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times. In other words, he gives us the answer. That is the summing up of all things in Christ. Get it? We're seeing this pattern of in him, in Christ. It's all about Christ. Things in the heavens and things on the earth. Do you get that? You see what's happening?
Yeah.
Even the demons or even spiritual beings rebelled against God. And they saw him.
Okay.
So we rebelled against God. And so we can conclude that if people are offered free will, they usually go against what God's doing. But we're in a really good spot because he saved us. And we still can, even though we're sinners, we can still learn during this dispensation of time called the church. We can still learn and please God in our flesh.
Yeah.
As long as we're getting his power to do it.
Well, yeah, you know what? There's a lot of people out there saying that I'm doing God's work, and they're fooling themselves. And, you know, that's what I don't want to do. I don't want to be fooling myself, which I'm not. I believe in the Lord wholeheartedly, and I've given my life to Him. And I believe in Him. I believe that. I'm not... Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and here's the thing. We're studying the Bible. We expect to get things wrong, but we're under His authority, and He'll help us.
You know what? Every time I open this book, I learn more. And I don't care how many times. I've read Acts and Romans a couple times over since I've become a Christian, because there's so much to learn in those two books. And it's the whole Bible like that. The whole thing is like that. The more you read it, the more you get out of it. Yeah. So I think that's what God wants us to do.
Right. And then I'm going to post on our blog a really good Jim Chapman. You know him from our Saturday morning men's Bible study. He did a wonderful program of reading Psalms and Proverbs in the evening. And so Mary and I are going to try to start doing that now and contemplating some of the different things rather than maybe cut back on our TV viewing.
Yeah. Well, see, I've cut back on the TV viewing so much because I'd rather sit in my chair and read my Bible than watch TV anymore.
Well, I have always been way more spiritual than me.
Pardon me? Not.
See how easy it is to compare one another? Yeah. Isn't that something? So I know what you meant. I just wanted to say it. So here's the thing. What you learned today was what we learned together today is dispensation. And so God deals with different things at different times in different ways. And if we keep dispensation to this Bible study principle, we're in good hands. And that Bible study principle is this. We want to find out who the Lord is writing to, who is supposed to respond to it, and what time he wanted to do it. So right now, Jew and Gentile are one group together.
Yeah.
We don't have to be Jewish or act Jewish.
That got me for a while when I was reading the New Testament. It was always talking about Jews, Gentiles, Romans. I got a mosquito flying around. I didn't understand where God placed me on. But we're all the same now. You know, I think we're all Gentiles anymore, really.
Yep.
We're all students of the Bible.
Right, exactly. So, let's see. 10, okay. Summing up of all things in Christ, things in heavens, on the earth. In Him also we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. So again, Paul's repeating what he just said, but a lot of people get twisted up on this whole thing about predestination. And all he's saying is that God created us to be believers in Christ, and He commands all men to repent, as He says in Acts 17. So He wants us all to repent. And David is a great example of a man after His own heart. And God defines it as somebody that's after His will. So you and I want to be men who are after God's will. And thus we're after His heart, because His will is His heart.
Yeah.
Yep. And so what's really good is we were predestined to do those things if we believe. If we don't believe that and we reject Christ, then what we've done is we've rejected the purpose that we were created for. Yeah. That's what people need to get across That's what I had to get across. And here's a sense of security it gives us, Irv. I can't fail.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's a good end for us.
Yeah. Well, I have to get off here anyway. I've got to go take my mother-in-law to the airport. So
okay.
Would you like to pray us out?
Well, I'd like you to pray us out.
Okay. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the time that we've had. Thank you for this lesson, for giving us an open mind and an open heart. Thank you so much for Rick pestering me about my shirt. Now I'm going to go change it.
No, you're not.
Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us today and yesterday and all the days before and the days to come. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Right, and I'm going to pray for everybody, okay?
Okay.
And Lord, please help us understand your word and not get tangled up in philosophies like predestination and dispensation and all that. Yeah. The whole Bible is our tool. We want your will and your word in our life. And Lord, help us to separate all of the stuff that's fluff, and you build a new foundation in our lives from what we've believed. Because we only encounter church a lot of times, and then that becomes what we know of you. And you have the capacity to change all of that if we're open. And so we just ask for that in the name of Jesus and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right, Rick, I will talk to you later.
Okay, love you.
Take care. Love you.